I'd like you to turn to Luke 21, please, if you would. Because when you look at the news today, it's very interesting that these scriptures take on a whole new light. Luke 21, verse 28. Having answered his disciples' questions about the end of the age, Christ said, "And when you see these things," verse 28, "begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And he spake unto them a parable, "Behold, a fig tree and all the trees, and when they now shoot forth, you see, and know that your own selves, that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." The question is, what things? And back in the late 60s and early 70s, we thought that things were coming to a head. But you know, when you look at what's happening now, that really was, it wasn't actually happening then, really. It was on a very small scale. We've been told that there's going to be a 10-nation beast power. 10 nations or 10 groups of nations. Mr. Armstrong preached that right from the very beginning of his ministry. But today, when we look at the EU, what do we see? Well, we see the EU in meltdown. Two recent black swan events have caused chaos in the EU. Black swans, for those of you that haven't heard the expression, it goes right back to when Captain Cook went to Australia. Up until that point, swans were white. Suddenly they found black swans. Something totally, totally unthought of. Nobody ever thought of a black swan. And that's what these events were, because the British government had no idea. They had not planned for a yes vote. They planned for a no vote. And they were left high and dry, and so was the rest of the world. But the British people voted to leave Europe, and of course that's caused a lot of chaos. Many nations now in Europe want to leave the EU also, and it's causing a lot of problems over there. The second black swan, of course, was Mr. Trump, because nobody thought that he stood any chance at all of being elected. It seemed that everything was against him, and yet he came out and he's got the job, and he set about the job in a suitably dramatic manner. Changes are flying around at great speed. But of course, right before he was even inaugurated, Germany was already using it as an excuse, because Mr. Trump mentioned that NATO in its present form wasn't working very well. Immediately the Germans said, "We must rearm, we must protect ourselves against the nasty Russians," which of course is always been the problem with Germany. Just as a side issue, just watch out for some agreement between Germany and Russia, because that preceded the Second World War. It does make me wonder if we're going to see a little repeat of history there. Just after the Second World War, Mr. Armstrong warned the church to watch out for a German-led Europe. That German-led Europe is to totally destroy both Britain and America. Looking at the situation right as it is right now, could that be possible? I mean, think back, when he said this, they went across to Germany, I believe it was in 1949, people were still living in tents, the place was still bombed out, industry was struggling to sort of start to survive, the Berlin Wall hadn't even been thought about. Think about it. Germany was literally in ashes, completely smashed, and yet he made the statement. So what have we got today? Well, today we have a German-led Europe. Surprise, surprise. Today, that German-led Europe is rearming at an alarming rate. And nobody seems to care. We have a German-led Europe which is looking to produce its own nuclear weapons, which is rather interesting. And again, nobody seems to worry, which again is very worrying. We have a German-led Europe which is sending its troops to other nations to train their troops and also to protect them. Recently there was a whole batch of troops and tanks went up to Lithuania to protect the Lithuanian border because it borders on with Russia. Should we be concerned? Well, Prince Charles mentioned the other day that he was concerned. He mentioned something about looking back to history might be a good idea. This is exactly what Germany did before the Second World War. They went down to assist Spain. And of course they tried all their different tactics out, the dive bombers and so forth and so on. So they were all ready and prepared for World War II. as I said before, looking at the situation as it is right now, could it be possible? Could Germany possibly take over America, destroy Britain and America right now? Well, it depends how you look at America. Is America also in a meltdown, just like Europe? Mr. Trump is trying to roll back socialism in America, many years of socialism, but can he succeed? Many Americans now rely on government handouts simply to survive, which is the same situation we have in England. And again, it's rather interesting. We have one side accusing the other side, the Democratic Party people are accusing Mr. Trump of being right-wing. And Mr. Trump, of course, is pointing out that they're left-wing. But what's the difference? Because when either party riot, they both cause mayhem and destruction and in some cases death. It's very difficult to follow who's actually who in the zoo. The fact is, though, that the situation in America is a lot more critical than many people realise. Much of the industry has been sent overseas, leading to a shortage of real jobs. Huge retail outlets are closing stores, or in some cases closing down completely. The present situation, in fact, in America could well lead to civil war. Why they call it civil war, I don't know. It's probably uncivil war. But the country is pretty evenly divided, which is rather interesting. And the Democrats are proving to be very bad losers. They don't want to see all the work, as they see it, that Mr. Obama has achieved in the last 8 years, destroyed. The fact that he's got the country another $10 trillion in debt, of course, is just a small point. Because socialists always believe in the mantra, use other people's money. The problem is other people's money runs out. And that's what they've done, they've borrowed. Now, if you turn to Deuteronomy 28, you'll see the end result of this fact. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and you shall come down very low. He shall lend to you, and you will not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Well, right now, America has borrowed huge sums of money from basically Gentile nations. China, $1.3 trillion. Japan, $1.1 trillion. We then drop into the billions. Taiwan, $182 billion. India, $118 billion. South Korea, $116 billion. Singapore, $112 billion. Even Germany, $90 billion. And the list goes on and on and on. You just make a note of Proverbs 22, verse 7, because we all know it. It says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant of the lender. So who's the borrower? Well, the borrower is America. Big time, $20 trillion worth of borrowing. Spending other people's money. A vast sum of money which it looks doubtful that they could ever possibly repay under normal circumstances. Consumer debt, the debt held by people personally, is over $12 trillion. That is eye-watering. In other words, if there's a crisis, most of these people will literally be bankrupt. It simply cannot go on. A day of reckoning is close. And Mr. Armstrong did say again that he felt that, looking at the end time events, the thing that he felt was going to be the crunch is a huge financial collapse. And as he said, when the finances collapse on a worldwide basis, civilization collapses. And we could well be seeing that, because only out of a disaster will you get a dictator in Europe. It's that simple. There's got to be a dictator. We refer to him as our Bible refers to him as the beast. In Isaiah 10, he's referred to as the Assyrian. And God says he's the rod of his anger. God's going to use that Assyrian to beat up America and Britain, beat our nations into subjection until the few that are left can be worked with and taken thrown into the millennium. But it'll be a small group. It'll be a very small group. When you go back to look at Deuteronomy 28, the immigration problem here is huge. Europe is reeling under an invasion, a Muslim invasion, of around 1 million young men and a few families. It's easy to forget that America has about 11 million illegal immigrants. 11 million. That's a lot of people. And that's the official figure. And the fact that people are illegal aliens probably means there's an awful lot more than that. America's got this big problem. They're taking all the low-paid jobs that Americans don't want to take. And why should they take low-paid jobs when they can get money from the government to live and not bother working? The same problem we have here in England. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. America doesn't lend out money to anybody. They just borrow, borrow, borrow. The other big problem they've got, of course, is that the Fed, the Federal Reserve Bank, which is neither federal, neither reserve, nor a bank, happens to also own something like $4 trillion of American debt. So who runs the country? The lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. The lender is the Fed. So, yeah, Mr. Trump is going to have an awfully, awfully hard time. In past years, two presidents tried to reform the financial system. Abraham Lincoln and Mr. Kennedy. And both of them were assassinated. You can draw your own conclusions to that one. We're told at the end time there'll be famines. Venezuela, in the news this morning, which is interesting, Venezuela has the world's largest petroleum reserves. Incredible. More oil than America, more oil than Saudi Arabia. And yet, unrest mounts as the country faces continuing shortages of essential food, medicines and toiletries. All the bakers here in La Victoria, 55 miles southwest of Caracas, stopped producing bread last week because there was no flour. Think about it. No bread? I mean, that's kind of like basic. People are hunting dogs and cats in the streets and pigeons in the plazas to eat. Another news report said they're actually eating flamingos. There's a lot of flamingos down there, and they're actually catching those and eating them. People are desperate. They're absolutely desperate. And this is the mayor of Caracas. He's just saying that's how desperate the situation is. And they're there starving a land of plenty. What's it going to be like when it's happening to our nations, which have been bombed flat? People are going to die in vast numbers. So Luke 21, verse 32. Verily I say to you, this generation, the generation that sees these things, you know, when you see these things, when you see nations like Germany and Japan being given a free hand to get their own nuclear weapons, that should tell us something. That should really tell us something. Because just 70 years ago, both of those nations were out there having big chunks out of the world. So Luke 20. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's going to happen. The second coming of Jesus Christ is actually going to happen. The message to God's people is stay on track. That's the big problem. Stay on track. Verse 34. And take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Each one individuals, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. If we are too involved with this world and the affairs of this world, it will cloud our vision, and we could get caught short, because it says in verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all of them that dwell in the face of the whole earth. It's going to happen suddenly, like the wall that bursts. Suddenly and unexpectedly as well. Now with all that in mind, verse 36 then makes the point. Watch you therefore and pray always. That's the key. Don't get wrapped up in this world and all of its hassles and its problems. We're not here to get involved in politics. We're here to observe God fulfilling end time events, just as he said. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass. In other words, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's our job. So all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.